Good morning. What a bumper. We decided to put together a physical representation of what Limerick did to Galway last week. You know, it was. We're glad you joined us on the first anniversary of the All-Ireland finals.
What a match.
Some people went to the match here, I believe, and didn't invite anybody, but, you know, that's all right. That's all right. As your pastor, yeah, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Next time you need company to something like that, you know, I want first refusal. Lads, you're very welcome this morning. If you're new or visiting, my name is Dermot, and we're glad you're here. Last week, Justin finished up a series on 1 John, and I really hope you were as challenged and convicted by it as I was, because, you know, going through 1 John was incredible to see how we're really all part of the body, which is what I'm going to talk about today. But that love that Christ has for us and others, it just can't be explained. And if you missed any of them, you can log online and listen. But today we're starting a short series called Body Parts. And the purpose and goal of the series this week and next week is to remind us, to encourage us, but also to inform us that we're all part of the body. That, you know, Elevate is a very, very, very small part of the global church. And there's incredible churches around Limerick, around Ireland, that we're all one around the world. That we're all part of this one unique body, and that you and I can play a role in it. And that's the goal of this series, is to realize, hold on, how do I contribute to this? How am I a part of this global and citywide church? You know, a lot of the times that we too often fall into the lie and think, well, I can't add any value. You know, well, what can I contribute, or what can I can't do, whatever it may be, so I'll just not get involved. And I hope that through this series and through this message, you'll see that every single person has a function in the body. Every single person can be a part of the body. What that function or part is completely between you and God. And when we choose to follow Jesus, it's not just a matter of forgiveness, and it's not just a matter of his grace and his mercy to us, but it's a part of being something bigger than ourselves. It's contributing to something that's far bigger and far longer than we've ever thought of. You know, it's been said before that your ability is God's gift to you. But what you do with that ability is your gift to God. And the gift that God gives you, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to use that? But what are you going to do when God hands you something? How are you going to hand it back to him? In the same condition or better? Because the opposite of the I can't attitude is the someone else attitude. Someone else will do it. Sure, if I don't do it, someone else will. Sure, the chairs are always out when I arrive. The floor is always swept. Sure, who puts on the coffee? Who cares? It's handed to me when I walk in. Just someone else will do it. And that in the church can be very, very destructive, because, you know, if you broke your leg, you wouldn't be expected to walk around on your hands. And in a church, when somebody doesn't serve, it means somebody else has to. And I think that the grace that we show each other in the church is lightening the load of each other's burdens. You know, it's to be able to say that, you know what, if you can't, I will. Is to be able to go to somebody and say, you know what, I know you're having a difficult time, I'll do it. That are we encouraging each other as a body to grow spiritually? Are we encouraging each other as a body to be able to draw closer to Jesus? And often, you know, it's true that when we do this, the church flourishes and the church grows. So over the next 2 weeks, today we're going to be looking at the unity of the body, and next week we're going to be looking at the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God has given each one of us. Now, depending on your upbringing, when I say the body of Christ, what comes to your mind? Because depending on your upbringing will determine how you envision that. I know for myself, I grew up kind of from a more Catholic background. So for me, when I think of the body of Christ, it was always, I'm at the bottom looking up. That I'm at the end of the totem pole, as they say. You know, that it was always, I'm the body of Christ means I'm here and there's always someone higher. So in my instance growing up, it was kind of like, you know, the priests were here, then the bishops and the archbishops, and it would just go on. That to me was the body of Christ, that I'm at the bottom of this. But the passage we're going to read today, it's important to know the context of it, that when Paul was talking to us, we'll get to this in the passage in just a minute, that the audience he was talking to wanted this structure, but they didn't realize it was damaging them. So way back in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel, the Israelites were screaming for a king. And they said, well, you know, every other nation on earth has a king. They have a physical person that we go to and we give out to, and we can kill that king if we don't like him. And, you know, we want the same thing. So poor Saul got stuck with it. So Saul became king, the first king of Israel. And he was the first physical representation of the king of Israel. Before that, you had Moses. And you had other people, but you had Moses being one. One we might all know. But Moses' position was a calling, not an entitlement. Moses' position was something that God called him to, over where a king would be more generational, that the king's son now became king. So that's what I want to try and talk to us today about, is that so often in the church, we want a linear kind of position and hierarchy in the church. But Jesus says, no, the body of Christ is something very, very, very different. That history has shown us, that God has told us, that when we put the structure of unhealthy leadership or bodyship in the church, it leads to destruction, corruption, struggles, and bitterness. That really we can break down the body of Christ into two parts. Jesus is the head, and we're all the body. And that's basically how it was in the beginning of the Old Testament, and that's how he wants it now. So when Paul writes in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 about the structure of the church or the body of the church, he said, if we can think of it like this and run it like this, that if we get this, that if we live this out, it'll be so attractive, so life-changing, that the world will envy the church. That if we actually do this properly, that if we pull up our socks and actually dig into this, the world will actually look at us and say, I mightn't believe what you believe, I mightn't like you, but I love what you're doing. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn to Romans chapter 12? If you don't own a Bible, we have plenty of them at the back. You can grab one, they're free, or it'll be on the screen. And here's what he writes in Romans 12, and this is to a group of people who asked for this structure, but it was being counterproductive. So he says this, Romans 12, verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you a warning. Now, anytime you see warning wrote in Scripture, highlight it, circle it, and say, why is he saying this? You know, I have three kids, and the two older ones know this by now, but I'm trying to teach the youngest guy that I'll tell them once, and after that, they're on their own. So I'll warn them once. So a recent example is my youngest. I love spicy food. I love it. So I have Tabasco sauce, everything. So lash Tabasco sauce on a sandwich or something, and mustard and what have you. And the young man says to me, can I have a bit? And I says, no, it's spicy. You won't like it. And he says, oh, give us a bit. So I did. Of course, he melted. He absolutely flipped out. And Marie was like, what'd you do that to him for? I was like, because I warned him. I told him once. Now he'll know next time I tell him something, you won't like that, he'll believe me. But I'm not going to try and convince him something is bad for him. I'll just tell him, here, there you go. Warn him once. Anyway, side note. Back to Scripture. All right, there's your warning. So circle it, highlight it. Here's the warning he tells us about. Don't think you are better than you really are. Don't think you're better. Be honest with your evaluation of yourself. Measure yourselves by the faith God has given you. You see, this was so countercultural. It was so radical for people to hear because they were told back then, like we're often told now, and maybe you were told, you have to go to someone better than you to approach God. You have to go to somebody holier than you are to approach God. That you can't do it yourself. You're not good enough. That you have to go to somebody else. That, I don't know if it's a word or not, but the gooder you are, right, the better you are, the more acceptable you are to God, and therefore God likes you more and will listen to you more when you're good. And that was the lie they listened to. And Paul is trying to tell them, no, nobody is better than anybody else. It's an even playing ground here. There's nobody higher than another person. Paul's telling them, don't you think you're better than you really are? Now, who are you really? Who are you really? It's a sinner saved by God's grace. That's who you really are. Look to the person next to him and say, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You are. Guys, second service, bit of energy. Come on, you're a sinner. We're all sinners. Right. It's all good. Okay. We're all in the same boat. Nobody can stand up here. Nobody can stand up here and declare they've got it all together. Nobody can stand up here and say, hey, you know what? I'm better than you. I've got this licked. I know what I'm doing. There's no position better, and we'll get to that next week. There's no position better than any other position in the church. None. You see, when we start declaring that one position is better than another, what we're doing is creating an unhealthy and unbiblical hierarchy. There's no one better than anybody else. And you know how you know that? is when you join a small group in 3 weeks and you get to know people really in the church, you'll begin to realize, I actually am better than these people. Actually, I'm kidding. I'm out of here. But you know, in the small groups, you really get to know people. You really do. You, like, and I encourage you all, the small group information's at the back, grab it, because that's how we're going to grow. You know, communities made in circles, not rows, guys. You can write that down. That one's for free. Right? We're communities made in circles, not rows, and that's how we're going to sharpen each other. Now, if you've grown up in church or observed church, you might seem like a special title given to somebody or a special, you know, spirituality put on a person because of their role in the church. And Paul wrote that if that's you, there's no role in the church that makes you smell any sweeter than anybody else. So don't get too puffed up if you're asked to do something. That we're all in the same boat. As a matter of fact, look at verses 4 and 5. Well, in the same verse, I handled that well, didn't I? Verses 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it's with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. We all belong to each other. See, Paul likens the church to the human body. And in Colossians 2, he likens Christ to the head of the church. He's in charge of the church. Not any title, not any person. Christ is the head, and we're the body. As I said, there's only two parts, the head and the body, and we're all subject to the head. And while you and I might have different callings on our lives, our calling doesn't determine our worth. We're all valued, loved children of God. Our calling determines our service, and our gifts determine where we use them. That's what it is. There's nobody here of more value than another. See, if you were to use a hammer, you know, if you want to use a hammer to put a nail in a wall, you'd use your hand. So you'd say, what use is my foot when I'm hammering something in? But to go and get that hammer, you got to use your feet. What use is your hand? And at different times, we use different body parts to do different things. And it's like that in the church. That each time we do something different, a different part of the body, we unify it. And while the gifts of the church might be used at different times, there's no one person more valuable than another. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, verse 15, it says this. We should highlight this. It says, if the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of it because I'm not an eye, what would make any part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would we hear? And if the whole body were an ear, how would we smell? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. How strange a body if we were all only one part. Now, when I read that this week, what I read the first time was, seashells, seashells on the seashore. I was like, what am I after reading? Like, break this down, right? So I honestly did. So I was like, well, I have to wrap my mind around this. So I kind of rewrote it. So if you bear with me for a second, here's how I rewrote it for myself. I wrote it this way. If the speakers in the church can't say, I'm not part of the body because I'm not working in the coffee area, that doesn't make me any less part of the body. And if the media team says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not in kids, would that make them any less part of the body? If the whole church were on the media team, who'd serve coffee? If the whole church served by cleaning, who'd greet? Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each of you where he wants you. How strange a body would it be if everyone in the church served in the same area? To me, that was an easier way of reading. But how would it be if we all viewed one area better than the other? See, the body of Christ is a group of people using different gifts in different ways at different times in order to glorify God. So no one person can say, well, I do communion. You know, you just greet. That's not how it works. That's not how the body of Christ works. When we see a person who might be missing a body part, what's that person called if they're missing an arm or a leg? They're called disabled. And if the church is missing a part, the church is disabled. That if we choose not to be part of the body, we're hindering the church. And here's one of the most frustrating things for me, and I'm sure it happens you too, when somebody tells you what God is telling you to do, but they don't do it. It's like, you know what the Lord put on my heart for you to do? You know what I feel you should do? And it's great to get encouraged towards serving. I don't mean that. I don't mean it in a bad way. But when the person says, you know what, I'm never really going to do anything, but I think you should do everything. You know, you should start a homeless ministry. You should start the street ministry. It's like, you should listen to God and do it yourself. You know, but it really is. Like, it's that's what you want to tell him, you know? But that's what you want to say to him. You know, a sign of a really healthy church is the church that utters the words, what can I do? What can I do? Because this isn't my church. It's not your church. It's Christ's church. And we're the church. It's no one. When we serve the church, we're serving God. You know, a byproduct of serving God is serving each other. And too often people think that I want to be part of a great church, but I don't want to put in the effort to make a great church. I don't, guys, you're like looking at me like, it's okay, we can interact. Smile a little, it's all right. I want to be part of a great church, but I don't put in the effort to make a great church. We make a great church by being enthusiastic about the body of Christ. And that's what we need to do. See, whose responsibility is it to make a great church? It's not a trick question. Ours. Ours. Under the direction of Jesus Christ. But it's our responsibility to do it. You see, a person who wants to go solo can't be part of the body of Christ. A solo Christian, it's unbiblical. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, you know what, accept Christ and on your way, buddy. It doesn't work like that. That we're called for unity and communion with each other. Christians who say, you know, it's just me and Jesus, that's great if you're Tom Hanks in Castaway. But it's like, other than that, it's not going to work. If you're on an island on your own, happy days, pray it up. But when we have the opportunity to be together, Scripture warns. James, the brother of Jesus, said, hey, don't give up meeting together. Like, make sure that we're in unity together. You see, if you saw a limb on a table, after freaking out, what's the first thing you'd look for? The rest of the body. It's the first thing you'd look for. And when a Christian's on their own, a common question should be, what part of the body are you? Like, where's the rest of your body? Where's the rest of your community? How are you building each other up? So I want to land the message with these three points that I'm hoping will solidify what I'm saying and I hope we're encouraged by this. Because what it means is that as we come to church and as we grow, does it mean you have to jump into every ministry all the time? Absolutely not. Different times, different people. You know, people are going to go at their own pace and they're going to figure this out, right? So it's not like expected straight away. But over time, it absolutely is. So here's the first point I want to make as we start closing out. The unity of the body of Christ is created in Jesus Christ. It's the first point. See, the body of Christ is only for people who are in fellowship with Christ. Or another way of putting it, the body of Christ is for people who've trusted and put their faith in him. The thing is, it's open to everybody. It's not a select group. It's open to anybody who puts their trust in Christ. It means you can attend church every single week and not be part of the body. See, being part of the body means you contribute something. And the trap and the warning I think this has given us is that living a wishy-washy faith and a half commitment and fickleness to Jesus isn't reaching the potential that Jesus has for us. See, when we're called to be followers of Christ and we accept Christ, he says you have to give up everything. And if you're not willing to do that, then you really need to reevaluate it, which is scary because it's a huge commitment. See, I miss out personally, and you miss out as a church and personally on God's blessings when we put minimum effort into the body but expect maximum blessings from the body. You see, if we all contribute everything we have to build up the body, everybody benefits from it. In verse 5, it said, so we, though many parts, are one body in Christ. And what the phrase means is that we're woven together in unity. That we're all part of one thing. And a simple way of putting it is that when we stay in relationship with Christ, we're in relationship with each other. It's a byproduct. That when we're close to Christ, we should remain close to each other. And because of that, I can't say I hate the hand or and I can't say I hate the foot because we're all part of one thing. See, we only have real fellowship in Christ when we have unity in Christ. In 1 John, we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, but it's a good reminder. In 1 John 4, it says, if somebody says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person's a liar. If you don't love people you see, how can you love God who you don't see? See, one of the most attractive things in a church is unity in a church. And that's how Jesus said, you know, these people will know you're my disciples by how much you know or how much you attend church. No, what did he say? By how you what? Love each other. By how you have unity with each other, how you're willing to say, I want this, but you know what's better for the church? You know what's better for our community, for each other? And I tell you, I've seen it so many times in the church, and I'm bragging on you, is that It's incredible when you see that. So many people who sacrifice for so many other people in the church. It's a beautiful thing to see, and I thank you for doing that. The other thing, the second thing is, individuality is valued in the body of Christ, which is good to remember. Who's your hero? We all have that one. Who? I don't know. We all have that one person that we look to and try to be like, right? We all have that one person that we kind of admire, so we try to copy them in certain ways. And isn't that often the biggest compliment you can give somebody is imitation? And I think that's why Christ is Christ's likeness, that we're to be transformed into Christ's likeness. Yeah, I had a chat with Marie, it was last week or the week before, you know, that I've only gone to church about 14 years is my kind of lifespan of church. And I remember going, now nobody told me this, this was my impression, so nobody sent me down to do this. But the impression I had was, I have to be like all the other Christians to be a Christian. Like, I never felt like myself in church. Because, sure, I can't laugh, or I can't joke, or I never felt relaxed. I always felt on edge that I got to put on my Christian mask to be in church. And it wasn't until I realized, hold on a second, I have to become comfortable with who God made me to be in order to be myself. And now I just don't apologize for it. Now, I know I need to change more, and God's working on that, and, you know, some things are colorful. But, you know, God couldn't change me until I realized who I was. I had to accept myself first. And it was realizing my job isn't to become like the person I think is the most spiritual person in the church. My job is to become like Christ. I need to look to Christ and become more and more like him. See, while God has a plan for the body of Christ, he has a plan for each of us individually too. And we have to be open to that all the time. We have to be open to how am I contributing to the body, but how am I growing spiritually? And that's the paradox, I think, of Christianity, that if you want to find a purpose for your life, stop looking at yourself and look to God. God, you can only know the purpose of your life from the person who created you. You know, you can look to yourself for certain things, but not for your purpose. Why did God create you? And I can promise you, I can promise you, I'd elevate, we welcome all weirdness. Just look at the person next to you. I mean, that should affirm it. I mean, we do. Because the body's made up of everything. It's made up of people who have it together and people who don't. People who are tall, short, everybody. We're all part of it. You know, no one person can say, I'm better than you. And we need to realize that we're made up of weirdness, and we should welcome it and go with the flow and figure it out. And as we're doing it, we're all, God willing, we're all trying to become more Christ-like. And that's what we should be doing. I'm going to land it with this. The last thing is, God's grace sustains all ministry in Christ. God's grace sustains all ministry. See, ministry is hard and volunteering is hard, and most of you know that. That many of us who see the mission of the, want to see the mission of the church succeed and be a part of that mission and be part of something great for Limerick. But do you feel God's grace from people around you? And do you feel it from God? Do you feel appreciated for what you do? Not that you're doing it for other people, but do people come up to you and thank you for how you serve or for what you do? See, the grace we show others says more about where our heart is than where theirs is. See, the grace and mercy we show people shows us where we are with Christ. See, God's desire for you was never to be perfect. If perfection was the goal, we've all missed it. God's desire for you has never been perfection. God's desire for you is total trust and obedience and to follow him and to seek his will and his heart. That's what he wants for us. We're never going to know it all, but we certainly can't seek the one who does know it all. See, grace is the only thing that keeps, I think, ministry in a church going. That if we're not showing grace to each other and we're not building each other up, it crumbles because it bitterness and discontent sets in. See, caring about each other enough that we want to help lighten the burden of others. See, the body of Christ should be a place where we're tripping over ourselves to build each other up. That we're tripping over ourselves to help and to say, you know what, how can I pray for you? It should not be abnormal in a church to approach somebody and say, how can I pray for you? How can we build? Who's God put in your heart to pray for or to help? How do we do that as a church? Because when we do it for others, we grow closer to God ourselves and to build each other up. See, life is busy, and I know it is, and people have jobs and all this stuff. But if we use busyness as an excuse not to show grace to others, it's not an issue with busyness we have, it's an issue with priorities we have. Nobody's too busy to be kind. Nobody's too busy to show, nobody's too busy to send a text to somebody telling they're praying for them, or to actually call them and pray with them, or to have a cup of coffee with them. So the body of Christ isn't about one person or one individual. The body of Christ is about us all coming together to build each other up and to encourage each other. And we have some, actually, Justin and Marie might come up now. You know, as we do this, we do build each other up and we strengthen each other. And there's some exciting stuff that I want to share with you in a few minutes about the body of Christ that's happened recently. And that over the last few months, God's been blessing us and he's been encouraging us, and not to freak anybody out, but I'd say in the next year we'll be at a third service. It's okay. God's got this, I hope, because I don't, right? But God's been blessing us, and he's been blessing us with so many new people and families that we want to build it up. And here's the deal, is that we knew that as people come to the church, we have to make sure they're being discipled. We have to make sure that nobody's slipping through the gaps. And Justin and I have been talking a long time about this. We brought Marie into the conversation. And how do we do this? So what we've asked to benefit the body, not each individual, but to benefit the body of the churches, how do we make sure nobody slips through the gaps? How do we make sure that when somebody comes, at least when they walk out, they know that they have the opportunity to grow, that they're cared for? And that. So what we've asked is, and what we've prayed over is, if Justin could step away from kids ministry and to say, you know what? To focus on what we need to focus on. We're going to ask Justin to put down a lot of the batons that he's holding and focus on things like small group, connections, greeting, all that kind of stuff. So Justin is going to step back, still be available, but step back from leading the kids, which is incredibly exciting. And we said, well, if you wear the T-shirt, you may as well do it. I'm just kidding. So, and what we've asked is for Marie to step up and take over kids. It's incredibly exciting. You can give him a round of applause. Okay. The reason being is one person can do a limited number of things really well. And after that, to start doing a lot of things mediocre. And in order for us to do this really well, Justin needs to be focused on what God we feel as God has called him to. And for Marie to be able to focus on the kids, which is to be able to say, you know what, people, I wouldn't leave my kid with just anybody. And to continue and build on what's already there of... that's all right. Just about. But to be able to say, you know what, we need somebody just to be able to focus on kids and to build that ministry. Last service, packed. Packed. I mean, it was packed. And after this service, there's going to be a kids meeting in there for anybody who wants to help in the kids area and wants to volunteer there. I mean, kids ministry is so important because it involves a lot of trust from parents to leave their kids with us. But it's a heavy pressure on the kids ministry as well to make sure there's enough people to be able to teach. So we wanted to present to the body to benefit the body. It's fun too. And it's fun. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's fun. So Marie will tell you all about that. So, but what I want to do is ask you all to stand as we pray for their new adventure in the body and how they're going to serve the body, and that you might encourage them and build them up in encouragement too. So if you wouldn't mind standing, please, as we pray. And just unify together as a church and how we do this. Let me pray with you guys. Lord, we thank you that you've blessed us with so many new things and so many new adventures, that you just continue to bless us with people who want to seek you and know you. I pray as Justin enters this new adventure that you bless him and give him the wisdom and the guidance and just the ability to be able to connect people into small groups and with each other and to disciple and to grow them to be more like you. That it isn't about just, you know, bums in seats, but it's about people connecting and knowing you. And I just pray you bless him with that. You give him the guidance and the strength to be able to do that. And us as a body and as a church, come alongside him to be able to encourage him. And that when he leaves here or small groups or whatever it may be, that he's leaving pumped up, knowing that he's doing what you want him to do. And as Marie takes over the kids ministry, that she does make it fun, that she builds on that, that it is an encouraging thing to see children just praise you and honor you. I pray you give her the guidance, the encouragement and the wisdom to know what to do, that kids these days face so many things that we never did.
I just pray you get the right leaders in place, the right people in place to be able to build up that ministry. We thank you for who you are and for blessing this church. I pray you continue to bless all the churches around Limerick with your Holy Spirit's presence. So we thank you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.